Seems like, man, there's a lot to cover when it comes to Oregon athletics. Who better? The guy in the catbird seat for Duck Men's Hoops, Baseball, Football, Duck Insider. On Twitter, use Joey Mack UO. Actually, that's at Joey Mack UO, but, you know, Joey Mack, how's life treating you? Pretty busy time of the year.
Well, Steve, I got to tell you, it's a great time of year because I'm actually talking to you from the broadcast booth of PK Park right now, which means that it's almost Oregon baseball season, which I'm pretty excited about.
Yeah, I had Coach on early last week, and I joke that since, you know, he played Little League, this is the longest he'd ever gone between actual games when you consider last season ended March 8th. So considering they roll a week from Friday, I mean, Joey, just how stoked is everybody just to get the heck out there and play some ball?
Oh, everyone's pretty darn excited, Steve. I mean, you know, Coach Wozniakowski was very, very upfront when all this started that, you know, hey, this has been rough on the guys just from a mental standpoint. You know, they had a lot taken away from them last year. These are all young men that are wired to compete, have been playing baseball with the goal of making it to Omaha and playing here at Oregon and all those different goals that are baseball related. You know, these guys have had it all taken away from them over the last year. And so just being able to get back out there and compete, I think, is what it's all about. You know, and that's not just baseball. That's certainly all of the sports around Oregon and around the country. But I think for baseball in particular, and I think about softball, you know, those were sports that were just entering Pac-12 play. Like, the season was just getting into the meat and potato portion. And then everything stopped. And I think that it really is a testament to what is going on with Oregon baseball, that guys like Kenyon Yovan and Gabe Matthews, the super seniors that feel like they're grandpas of the Oregon baseball team at this point, those guys decided to come back and give it another shot and give it another year. And so I think that because guys like that have given it an opportunity and or given the Ducks the opportunity to come back and play again, you know, I just hope that they're able to do so and get as close to 56 games in as they can.
I like super seniors, by the way. That's a good one. Another thing Coach Woz and I talked about, and it's interesting because it usually surrounds basketball and football. He was talking about the size and athleticism a little more prominent. So what about this team, as he put it, just looking a little different and maybe a little more physically imposing?
No doubt. You know, I'm actually watching practice right now, and they just went through some different things, and they do look more physical to me. You know, that was something that Coach Wozniakowski really, really harped on when he got the job is, you know, you got to get after it in the weight room. And there's a lot of off-the-field work and preparation that the Coach Wozniakowski expects of his guys. There's no doubt about it. And I think that Oregon's really embraced that. And to be honest, I think that Daryl Hunter deserves a lot of credit. Daryl Hunter was one of the first two guys to ever sign with Oregon baseball when the program came back. Pitched for George Horton's teams, was very, very successful, coming from the Springfield area, really, really good, local guy, and now he's here as a strength and conditioning coach just for Oregon baseball, and he's working with pitching analytics. And so it just gives you, I think, a whole different spectrum for his talents, that not only is he working out as a strength and conditioning coach for this team and working the guys in the weight room, he's also helping the pitchers because that's what he did. And, you know, he went through health issues. For those of you who don't remember, you know, he had issues with seizures, actually, during his playing career. And, you know, what he's been able to do in his career since, I think, is just awesome. It's such a cool story. And he deserves a lot of credit for, I think, what Oregon baseball looks like right now, because he's the one who's been getting on him in the weight room. You know, it was Coach Wozniakowski's expectation, and Daryl Hunter, I think, has really gone after the guys in a good way with that level of expectation in the weight room.
Yeah, that's a really interesting story. We also had Coach Ulmer on talking volleyball. I know you and he speak frequently, and again, prior to Washington State, the last time they played, Justin Herbert was the Duck quarterback. Just from a fan's point of view, because I've watched a fair share this season. Also, their athleticism, their youth. Joey, just how fun is this team to watch? Because it's really entertaining.
No doubt about that, and I think, you know, it's too bad that fans didn't see that same level of fun and athleticism last year, because Oregon was so banged up on the volleyball floor. I mean, it seemed like they never had a full roster. Now, of course, I say that, and you know, the Ducks have been playing with 9 athletes on the volleyball floor for the majority of this season due to injuries, protocol, all the different things. And so, you know, Coach Ulmer and I have talked about that. Like, man, you know, you're shorthanded again this year. It's just that now I think the team is a little bit older, a little bit more mature, a little more sure of themselves, and they've been able to overcome some of that shorthandedness to be 4-2 on the season. And they went 3-1 against the Southern California schools so far this year. I mean, that's pretty impressive. And what I really like about Oregon volleyball is, you know, Brooke Nunaviller's leadership. I think she was one of the ones that was hurt last year, and you're seeing the difference that it makes having her healthy. You know, that's a really, really important piece to this Oregon team. And I think that Coach Ulmer also would tell you that, you know, they've kind of learned how to win a little bit. You know, Oregon they've played 6 matches so far. 3 of them have gone to 5 sets, and they've won all 3 of them. You know, that I think those are probably matches that last year Oregon volleyball loses. This year, they've kind of learned how to win. I think they've taken a step from a maturity standpoint as well.
No, I agree, and I think the ceiling is really, really high. Just looking forward to watching them play some more. Let's dance over to men's hoops. We know last Thursday in the second half, Chris Duarte went down. Man, he was in agony. Couldn't put weight on the ankle. Joey, if somebody told you at that time that he might play this week, when I thought it was more logical his season was over, I mean, how realistic did that seem? But now that we know he's going to be back, how huge is that?
Well, it is huge. You know, I hope that he is able to go on Thursday. You know, Coach Altman said that, hey, it's kind of a game-time decision. He went through dry offense this week in practice, and Ducks are traveling right now as we speak, and so we'll see if he's able to give it a go on Thursday, but the fact that even in the long run he will be able to come back is a big deal for Oregon. I mean, he's been, either him or Eugene Omorui has been the leading scorer for the Ducks. He leads the Pac-12 in steals. You know, he's a big reason why Oregon's been wreaking havoc defensively as a team, and he also just brings the level of experience and energy to this team that I think they really needed, especially before Will Richardson came back. You know, the Ducks really needed that level of energy, so yeah, I'm optimistic, you know, I guess, that maybe he could give it a go. But as Coach Altman said, you know, a guy like LJ Figueroa, who's rolled his ankle and twisted his ankle like a bajillion times in his career, you know, it doesn't hurt him quite as bad. You're kind of used to it. But in Chris Duarte's case, Coach Altman made it sound like, you know, maybe this is the first time he had ever rolled it that bad. And, you know, those of us who have rolled our ankles, sprained our ankles like that, it's no fun the first time you do it. I mean, you get a lot of swelling. There's a lot of different pain that you're going to feel. Whereas you do it, you know, 3 times in a season, the 3rd time maybe you can get back up and come back into the game after some icing the night before. So I hope that he's able to give it a go, because it's really, really important that he's able to against a pretty good Arizona State team that can really get it going from 3. You know, the Ducks would, let's just say it would behoove the Ducks to have Chris Duarte able to get a few steals in there to prevent some of those 3-pointers from going up.
I got to tell you, I never thought of rolling your ankle as an art form and something you get used to. But okay, if you say so. A few final thoughts for Joey Mack. The big freshman from Cameroon via the outskirts of Philly, number 22. So two things, Joey. I heard you talking, I think, yesterday. Maybe straighten us out now on the correct pronunciation of his name. And, man, how nice was it to see his contribution on Saturday?
Yeah, so originally when he came in, everybody, it was Frank Kepnang, you know, and nobody had really corrected us. And I think, to be honest, that's on people like me for not asking Frank. But the proper pronunciation, we know now, is Frank Kepnong. It rhymes with song, Frank Kepnong. And so we learned that, and so I've done my best to kind of correct it. It's funny, those of you who are going to listen to Duck Insider on 95.3 The Score coming up in about an hour and a half, Mosley and I were actually talking about him, and let's just say I forgot to get the memo over to Rob before we had the conversation about Frank. But, yeah, Frank Kepnong. And so he's got a really high ceiling. I mean, I think if he can stay out of foul trouble, he can really give the Ducks something. You know, Coach Altman talked about how in the game against Washington, he was really happy with Frank's ability to keep the foul numbers down. If Frank Kepnong can keep the foul numbers down, he's going to be really effective for Oregon. And especially, you know, he's been getting a lot of, like, reach-in fouls and touch fouls. And those are the fouls that you want your big man to get, you know. he shouldn't be going for steals. He should be going for block shots. If he's going to foul a guy, it better be fouling to the floor when he's protecting the rim. And I think that's the next step for Kepnong, is just to get used to this type of basketball and this level of play. You know, he can't be as physical on the touch fouls, and if he's going to foul somebody, it better be protecting the rack. His ceiling, though, Steve, so high. I mean, that guy is going to be really, really good at basketball, especially when he's actually able to practice with the team. Yeah. I mean, Oregon, you know, he comes in later into the season after reclassifying to this recruiting class, and then he barely has had any practice, really, relatively speaking, because Oregon's gone through two pauses in the month where he was actually with the team. You know, so I think just getting more and more practice reps, that's going to be a big deal for Frank Kepnong.
Yeah, by the way, four personals in 15 minutes, that's a bad ratio.
Right.
Last couple thoughts. The other freshman, Jalen Terry, who had 8 threes all year, sat out some games, limited minutes. Then he goes 5 of 7 from downtown. And I'm not sure if it was Will Richardson talking to you or just on the post game, says he's a dead eye in practice. So how nice, kind of the same thing, was it to see him kind of take a little step forward productivity-wise?
Well, especially having 4 in a row. I mean, you just don't see that very often. You know, 4 threes in a row, he's about as hot as you could get from three-point range. And I think Jalen Terry, you know, he was touted as a good shooter coming in. And so I think some of that's just the freshman getting used to this level in terms of speed, you know, hand in your face. And in practice, the lights aren't on. You know, it's a little bit different. So I think that it makes sense to see him start to go off like that. He was a good shooter with good numbers coming in from high school. And if he can give the Ducks some valuable point scoring off the bench, especially since they don't know if Eric Williams and Chris Duarte are going to be 100% on Thursday, and even moving forward, you never know what the roster is going to look like until the ball is tipped off every night. The Ducks are going to need those sorts of contributions. I think Jalen Terry is going to be a really, really good player. He, honestly, I think he could be a little bit like Will Richardson as his career progresses. Remember, last year as a sophomore, Will Richardson led the Pac-12 in three-point shooting percentage. Now, he didn't take a ton of them. You know, he was selective when he took them, but he still shot almost 50% from three. And I feel like Jalen Terry could take that step as a sophomore, too, as we kind of look down the road. And, you know, just speaking even now in the short term, Amari Hardy has really picked it up for the Ducks lately. You know, coming off the bench, I feel like that 25, 28-minute range for Amari Hardy is about right. And, man, if he can score the way that he was the last couple weeks, or really the last week, last couple games, Amari already gives Oregon something coming off the bench that I think they desperately need.
Yeah, he was key in there against the Doggies. All right, lastly, some football. You got the back from San Diego, Byron Caldwell, the corner from Nebraska, Avante Dickerson, added up Oregon's 5th nationally, best haul in program history. And, Joey, we could say this ad nauseum. We know it has to happen on the field, but landing the top recruit in 7 states. I mean, what does that say? And, you know, how stoked should fans be about what's happening and immediately to me what 2021 might bring?
Yeah, I mean, the top recruit in 7 different states, I think, is a really big deal because, you know, you don't want to just have to rely on Oregon, California, Washington, the rest of the West Coast. You know, the Ducks are really, I think, now a national brand in terms of recruiting. And I know that sounds cliche, but, yep. I mean, the metrics tell you that. You know, they're getting the best player from the state of New York. I mean, that's got to make you happy, right? You know, I think that's just a cool thing that you can say now as a fan in Eugene, Oregon, where, you know, we have a regional airport for the most part, right? And you're bringing in the big talent from all over the country. I think that's a huge deal and a testament to what Coach Cristobal has been able to do, especially even with some staff turnover, Steve. I mean, you know, and look, the coaches, if you're part of Oregon and you're succeeding, if you're part of any program and you're succeeding, someone else is going to go and try and hire you. I mean, that's a good sign, I think. You know, Oregon was so fortunate to have so many of those coaches that were lifers, you know, and I think that in the modern world of college football, that's just not going to be as common anymore because if you're succeeding, other schools are going to try to hire you. So the fact that Oregon's had that going on year in, year out now, it feels like, with a little bit of staff turnover, the Ducks are still finding a way to put together these top recruiting classes. And 3 straight years, the best recruiting class in the Pac-12. And now it does, though, to your point, they've got to figure it out on the field, too. You know, I think that even if it's a down year and you're making the Fiesta Bowl, I mean, that's still pretty impressive. But now I think if you're the Ducks, you know, you want to be winning the Fiesta Bowl. You know, that's the goal with recruiting classes like this. That's why they're bringing in that level of talent. And, you know, and it's not just the assistant coaches either. It's a lot of the guys in the support staff roles. And Oregon just announced a couple new additions to the support staff for recruiting. And, you know, those guys deserve a lot of credit, too. It's a multifaceted operation for sure.
And, folks, he is Joey Mack. He needs multiple hats now that baseball's about to start, basketball heating up, host of Duck Insider. Of course, on Twitter, use the handle at Joey Mack UO. Joey, always appreciate your time and insight. Be well, have fun, and as always, look forward to catching up real soon.
Hey, thanks, Steve. Anytime, my friend.
All right, have a good one.